Welcome to the program, God and Country, where we look at social, political, economic issues in a light of biblical exposition. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. And today's program is about repeal and replace. Specifically, what is intrinsically wrong with Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, and what it needs to be replaced with? It does no good to criticize something if you don't offer a better alternative. Just like the Apostle Paul said, we ought to put off the old man and put on the new man. Both messages must be clearly explained. Now, the Republicans can harp about Obamacare, hoping to gain votes in the upcoming election, but the public wants to know what is the better alternative. Certainly, the public doesn't want to return to the old way of ever-increasing healthcare premiums and people without insurance not being able to get adequate care. Now, the first thing I would like to look at is why Obamacare is failing. It was an idea that was sold on good intentions, sharing, social responsibility, and even the conservative value that everyone needs to carry his own weight. I mean, after all, why should one person freeload off of the system by not covering his health care with a personal insurance policy? Therefore, let's make everyone buy health insurance, just like we make all people on the road pay for car insurance. That sounds good, but the conservative value of social responsibility conflicts with another conservative value, freedom. And we all know that it's unjust to force people to contribute to the expenses of others because being forced to work for others amounts to slavery. So we have to look at Obamacare, socialized medicine, on two levels. First, a pragmatic level. It's workability. This is the basis upon which most people judge these things. Second, the ideological or the moral level. Now, of course, people are enraged with Obamacare on that pragmatic level. Medical insurance premiums are not dropping $2,500 per year as the president promised would happen. They're going up and people are being dropped from their insurance because their policies no longer qualify under Obamacare. And you can't keep your doctor, as President Obama said you could. And people are discovering that the Affordable Care Act is not affordable. The premiums and the deductibles are just as high, if not higher, than plans under the old system. The Obamacare Bronze Plan has a deductible of $5,000. And when you reach that level, you still have to pay 20 to 40% of your medical costs. It would take you 50 visits to a doctor in a year before your insurance would even kick in. So people have figured out that if they're relatively healthy, why sign up and pay monthly for Obamacare? Just self-insure. What were the Democrats thinking? The reason 40 million Americans were uninsured was that they either didn't want to be insured or they couldn't afford insurance. And so they thought that the fix was to make people buy insurance. The people who want to be self-insured are angry at this, and the people who are poor can't afford this. And the middle class is now realizing that Obamacare was not about getting cheap insurance, but about getting you to pay for everyone else's health care. The low-information voters didn't understand socialized medicine and all the problems that it creates. Socialized medicine doesn't hurt the wealthy, because increasing their insurance premiums by 40% is insignificant. It doesn't hurt the poor because they get free health insurance. The entire burden falls on the working middle class. So those are the practical problems with Obamacare. But what, if any, are the moral problems with Obamacare? The practical problems are only there because of the intrinsic moral problems underlying socialized medicine. I was reading a piece recently that explained that most people oppose socialized medicine on the grounds that it is moral and well-intentioned, but impractical. It's a noble idea, but it doesn't work. But if that's the case, all we have to do is to work harder at making it work. Because if it's a moral thing to do, then no obstacles should prevent us from making it happen. And that is what's driving the liberal promoters of socialized medicine. They don't care if it costs more. They don't care if it's inefficient. They don't even care if it results in less health care. For them, it's the moral thing to do. Now, this author went on to explain that, quote, as long as people believe that socialized medicine is a noble plan, there is no way to fight it. You cannot stop a noble plan. Not if it's really noble. The only way you can defeat it is to unmask it, to show that it's the very opposite of noble. Then at least you have a fighting chance to overturn it. Unquote. Oh, by the way, communism was also sold as a noble plan. But it was evil because it forced people to pay for the expenses of others, which is not social responsibility, but slavery. Are there moral problems with Obamacare and socialized medicine? And if there are, we should be able to find a passage or verse in the Bible dealing with the issue. Now, some using the scripture say that there are no moral problems with socialized medicine. In fact, the Bible teaches that I am my brother's keeper, so we should all do healthcare together as a nation. But then again, there are some other scriptures that speak about individual responsibility. Which texts take priority? This is no easy nut to crack. You know, I was working on my laptop, and my wife asked me, what am I working on? And I said, well, you really don't want to know, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I'm looking up economic theories of insurance and problems intrinsic to insurance and the healthcare industry. And I often think to myself, why can't I just teach Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so? How is it that we always have to deal with these complicated ethical issues? Well, I'm sorry, you cannot crawl back into the cradle. This is a very complicated world, and there is a serious battle between evil and righteousness, and you need to fight the battle with God-given intelligence. That's loving God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And we need to grow up. Solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Therefore, leave the elementary teachings about Christ. Let us press on to maturity. Hebrews 5:14. And elders, pastors, need to hold fast to the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that we may be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict. For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision. And we can add to this, empty talkers and deceivers in government, in policy think tanks, in the medical industry, those who must be silenced because they're upsetting whole families, teaching things that they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. Titus 1:9. So what are the intrinsic moral problems with using mandated health insurance, socialized medicine, as a means of providing health care and fixing problems in our healthcare system? Let me list two. First is slavery. The right to life guaranteed in the Constitution does not mean your neighbor is forced to feed, clothe, or even provide your health care. And in this, the scriptures agree. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, for even when we were with you, we used to give you this order, if anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. Now, if food, which is essential for life, can be denied to non-workers, so also healthcare. Healthcare is not a right. And to make healthcare or food or clothing a right is to take away the rights of others. For to give a person this right means that you're forcing someone else to provide these things for that individual, And that is, in effect, slavery. Now, President Obama has been quoted as saying that the problem with the Constitution is that it only has negative rights, not positive rights. In other words, the Constitution only tells us what the government can't do to you, not what the government should do for you. Well, the answer to that is our founding fathers knew that if the Constitution laid out positive rights, then it was in effect invalidating the rights of the people. Because you can't give someone the right to something without first taking it away from someone else. To include positive rights in the Constitution would have invalidated the life to right, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But positive rights are part of the liberal socialist worldview that people should be forced to do things for the state and the whole society. This is the European feudal system. Everyone works for the state, and then the state distributes their efforts according to what the king thinks is fair. So giving a right to health care eliminates the rights of millions of people. Now, in the ears of a modern liberal, Paul's words that if anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat, sounds very cruel. They will say, how dare Paul denies food to a person who's hungry? I mean, after all, Jesus said, give the hungry something to eat. But in those texts, Jesus was only speaking of people who are hungry because of persecution or inability. Now, to this, liberals will say, anyone who can't afford food or health insurance are that way because society has persecuted them, so that everyone who does not have should be given charity. And in this, they deny the fact that many people can be evil and lazy. And in the charity model laid out in the Old Testament, help was given to needy people who are worthy of help. That is a whole lot different than the socialized medicine system where everyone bears the cost of the entire aggregate of society's medical needs. In socialized medicine, you don't just have the moral obligation to help the poor, you are forced to work for everyone. Remember the pilgrims in 1620? At first they tried to do all labor jointly. Everyone was to work together on a common plot of ground, and all of their produce was to be gathered together into a common house. Then it was distributed according to need, but the system failed because nobody was motivated to work for freeloaders, and it encouraged laziness. And what you had there was not charity, but slavery. And it failed not because it was just impractical or because it affected people's motivations. It failed because it was immoral. If anyone does not work, neither should he eat, 2 Thessalonians 3:10. The laborer is worthy of his wages, Luke chapter 10, verse 7, 1 Corinthians 9:7. Who at any time serves as a soldier at his own expense? Or who plants a vineyard and does not eat the fruit of it? Or who tends a flock and does not use the milk of the flock? The plowman ought to plow in hope, and the thresher ought to thresh in hope of receiving the crops. Obamacare, socialized medicine, violates intrinsic morality concerning economic freedom and justice. Now, a second intrinsic problem with Obamacare, the use of insurance. We have a problem in America with healthcare being too expensive. But the Democrat solution was to have more of what created the problem in the first place. Insurance. Insurance increases people's ability to pay for services. And when they pay for those services, they're not very price sensitive as to how much they're spending because the insurance company is paying, not them. People naturally want to stick it to the insurance companies after paying premiums for many years. They want to get more out of the insurance company than what they have paid in. Everybody wants to be the winner in insurance. And the insurance companies are motivated to stick it to the doctors. Insurance, whether it be health insurance or building insurance or auto insurance or service contracts on appliances, result in some unusual economic behaviors that even classical economists have not been able to fully explain. You know, most of us have come to accept insurance in our economic system as something that's upright and fair. It's just a good way to spread risk around. But there are many people who have some suspicions about insurance. And I haven't really made up my mind totally about this, but something doesn't ring true. In fact, some people see insurance as a form of gambling identical to the lottery. Everyone buys the tickets, and there are winners and losers. Some people get to use their insurance. Others lose and don't get to use their insurance. Inherent in insurance is a Rob Peter to pay Paul system. And insurance doesn't reduce the aggregate of medical costs in our nation. It increases costs. You don't pay less when you visit your doctor because you have insurance. You actually pay more. It looks like you pay less because you walk out of the doctor's office or out of the hospital paying nothing. But you've actually paid much more than you would normally have paid through your monthly insurance premiums. The uninsured look at the guy who puts down his insurance card, gets his medical bills paid for, and walks away. And they think, I want to have one of those cards too. But they don't realize that that card has cost that individual more than if he had paid cash. He has just had to pay it up front and over many years. Now, please don't give me this argument that you have to have insurance today because medical costs are so high. That's like saying we have to pay more taxes to government because government costs are so high. The use of insurance itself is the reason medical costs are so high. Just the other week, I took my elderly mother to the hospital to pay for her emergency room bill. She cut her chin and went to a local clinic in town, and they said that they don't do stitches, and they sent her to the emergency room. She got 9 stitches. How much was the bill? Are you sitting down? It was $4,500 from the hospital and $2,000 from the doctors. Now, in 10 minutes, I could have stitched my mother's chin myself with surgical stitching, a tube of triple antibiotic, and a Band-Aid. And the hospital charges $6,500. And I'm sure some of you have experienced this. We have a serious problem with the medical industry in America. And that's why people are asking the government to step in. And that is why the Democrats were able to use the healthcare crisis to take over 20% of our nation's economy. Now, why did it cost my mother $6,500 for 9 stitches? Because insurance gives people the ability to pay more than they would normally be willing to pay. And hospitals have to ask the world to get the insurance companies to pay anything. If we were in a pay-out-of-pocket medical system, and hospitals were required to post their rates before performing services, like any other business, people would shop around, and competition would keep prices down. And if the hospitals tried to charge people different rates, then they would be slapped with a price discrimination lawsuit. This is why an oil change for your car doesn't cost $6,500, because you don't have insurance paying for your car's oil change. We would all be better off financially if there was no insurance middleman. Insurance takes more money from society than it gives back in real goods and services. Without insurance, doctors and hospitals would not have to spend a fortune on processing medical bills to insurance companies, and insurance companies would not get a cut from every medical dollar. And I'll tell you, it doesn't matter whether we're talking about private insurance companies or a single-payer government system. In either case, there is the cost of a middleman. Something is amiss with insurance as a way for society to pay its bills. And that might be the very reason why Obamacare is failing. Because the very thing that the Democrats thought would fix the problem, more insurance, is what created the problem in the first place. Now, Democrats who support Obamacare will agree with you that private insurance companies can be greedy and wasteful. And the Democrats are now saying that the whole problem with Obamacare is that it was too linked with the Republican mindset of using private insurance companies. And so now the Democrats are saying about Obamacare, let's mend it, but not end it. And the way they plan to mend it is by pushing for a single-payer, government-run healthcare system with no involvement by private insurance companies. But economically, government single-payer is just like private insurance. The government will need to hire an army of bureaucrats to process claims and to collect taxes. It will be just as extensive and expensive as the private sector doing this, maybe even more so. And all the economic problems that are created by private insurance will still exist under one big government insurance. Price fixing, lack of competition, rationed care. And it will be, in effect, making every medical professional in America an employee of the federal government. Now let's talk about the Republican alternative to Obamacare. Republicans want to do some things to help families buy health insurance or to create health savings programs rather than the Obamacare method of the government takeover of insurance and mandating that everyone buy insurance. There have been a number of other bills kicking around the House that have been stuck in committee. H.R. 3121, the American Healthcare Reform Act. H.R. 2300, the Empowering Patients First Act. Orrin Hatch has his Patient Care Act. And the House of Representatives is trying to iron out a single plan that the Republicans can run on in the upcoming election. Kind of like back in 1994 when the Republicans came up with the Contract with America. A specific plan explaining to the American people what the Republicans plan to do. And all of these Republican alternatives contain what you might expect. Overturning Obamacare. Allowing Americans to buy insurance across state lines. Allowing Americans to deduct their health insurance premiums on their taxes. You're not forced to buy insurance with all sorts of government-mandated coverages, such as abortion or contraceptives. Groups like small businesses, associations, churches can pool together to buy coverage like large corporations. Americans can create tax-free health savings accounts. As far as individuals with pre-existing conditions, high-risk pools would be set up and subsidized by the government as charity. Now, this is charity for the poor with no insurance mandate and no government takeover of the entire healthcare system, which fits very closely with the biblical model, helping the poor, but also maintaining people's personal freedom and their personal responsibility. The best explanation is found in the book of Ruth, where you have Boaz, a successful farmer, and Ruth was a poor gleaner to whom Boaz was given charity. The poor in Israel were helped by the Mosaic law requiring landowners like Boaz to leave a certain percentage of their land for the poor to use. There was even a 10% tax every 3 years to help the poor in the community. But biblical help for those in need, for food or even for health care, never followed the socialist model. If a modern socialist showed up at Boaz's farm, he would claim that Boaz's charity for the poor was not enough. He would say that Boaz needs to put all of his food in the hands of the state, and then the state would redistribute the crop. All dollars spent on food need to be collected by the state and redistributed by the state because food is, quote, something we all do together. And that is the current Obamacare model for healthcare. We all pay for healthcare together, and the state redistributes healthcare dollars. But that's not the biblical pattern we see in any text of Scripture. We see charity, but not socialism. Now, my own personal plan for fixing the healthcare system is to get away from the insurance model altogether, whether that be private or public insurance, and create a system whereby people can take that $1,500 a month healthcare premium for their family and put it into a bank account. And within 1 year, there would be $18,000 saved. Within 2 years, $36,000. In 10 years, families would have $250,000 in their health savings program. Now, during this time, families could maintain a small, high-deductible insurance policy while the savings build. and people would be allowed to take money that they have in these health savings programs and share it with the poor. And people with pre-existing conditions, or those who are poor who cannot save too much, could be helped by a better funded Medicaid program, which is block granted to the states. That's the biblical model where an offering was taken for the poor. Now, the good news is that the solution to our healthcare financing problem in America is very easy to fix. The bad news is that our ungodly leaders may be void of basic discernment in figuring out how to fix the problem. And they will likely do that which runs the entire medical system in America into the ground, which may actually be the plan of God. Isaiah 3:1. For behold, the Lord God of hosts is going to remove from Jerusalem and Judah both supply and support. Verse 4, I will make mere lads their princes, and capricious children will rule over them. And the people will be oppressed, each one by another, and each one by his neighbor. You see, the Lord can cause the spiritually blind nation to fall into a pit of trouble. Our leaders in Washington did the exact opposite of what was necessary to fix our healthcare problems. You see, the right answer was to put people back in charge of their healthcare and back in charge of their healthcare dollars. But our leaders did the exact opposite, putting people less in charge of their healthcare dollars and less in charge of their healthcare. But nevertheless, we who know the Lord will continue to let the world know the path that ought to be taken. They may ignore us. And so what God may have in store for us is to sit back and just watch the train wreck. And that might not be a bad thing, because I have said often on this program that our objective is not to keep evil men from having to reap the consequences of their evil. Our objective is to point people to the kingdom of God and to the beauty and the rightness of the ways of the Lord. And if it takes evil men driving America off the cliff, so be it. We are interested in souls saved, not in an eternal American flag or an American healthcare system. Now, if you don't know Jesus Christ and his kingdom of righteousness, I pray that you would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved and begin to grow in his word, because the time is short. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. Contact us with questions, comments, insights at godandcountryradio.org. There you can listen to this program again or other past programs. This is a listener-supported radio program, and when you support us, you not only help us cover airtime, but you help the Christian community in outreach toward our civic leaders. Again, that's godandcountryradio.org. Thanks for listening today. And if God wills, I hope you make this program a regular part of your weekly discipleship. Let's pray. Father, you have promised that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given him. We pray for this wisdom for your people as we minister your word in this world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.